Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, good morning, you're in the breakfast huddle, it's Thursday, and you're here with Elliot Danker, Manisha Tang and Ryan Hwang. It's time for The Bigger Picture, and your big word this week, Ryan, appears to be rotation.
That is the word for the week, and it seems like that has been put on hold as we saw last night tech shares clawing back some of their recent losses. And this is on the back of some worries that you are looking at COVID-19 cases surging, and that is putting some worries and concerns that we might see more lockdowns across the US. In fact, the US has set records for hospitalizations in 17 states, and the US itself has the highest case tally in the world, as well as the highest death toll. So, with all that in mind, how do you navigate the markets for the rest of the year? Let's get the bigger picture from David Billing. He is the Chief Investment Officer for Citi Private Bank. Hey, David, how are you doing this morning?
Terrific. Thank you so much for asking. I'm doing terrifically well. Thank you for having me.
David, that's good to hear. Well, looking at the change in direction last night on Wall Street, do you think that was a sign of markets pricing in too much optimism with so many question marks around the vaccine in terms of logistics, manufacturing and distribution?
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that, because that's exactly the right question. There are a total of 5 vaccines in the final testing, phase 3 testing here in the United States, and at least several more around the world that are also almost finished. The Pfizer vaccine, as you pointed out, requires cold transportation and is very difficult to deliver, although we now know that there are 100 million doses being made over the next several months, and they'll have 1.3 billion doses available by the middle of next year. That's just Pfizer. If you take a look at the other manufacturers, you have Johnson & Johnson, for example, Moderna, and others, and all of them are also producing, between a half a billion and a billion vaccines. So what I'm telling everybody is that if you really add up the total number of available doses and you have 2 or more of the vaccines that are effective, it is highly likely that the pandemic itself will actually begin to end in the second quarter of next year as more and more people take the vaccine. And so I think you're right that over the course of the next month or 2 months or 3 months, the numbers are going to look terrible in places like America, Mexico, Brazil, and other places. But markets are going to look beyond that. And then to your point about the rotation, that rotation began on Monday. It just began. And it is a huge difference between cyclical stocks, right, and defensive stocks, stay-at-home stocks and leave-home stocks. And that rotation just began on Monday. So, of course, it's going to go back and forth. What's going to make the difference, though, is that when people stop being fearful, that's when you're going to see the rotation actually begin to accelerate. And here's what I mean by that. If you go back to when the pandemic first struck, you'll take a look at gold, right, treasury bonds and technology shares. Gold, right, went up in price. Bonds went up in price, and technology shares went up in price. And that's the ultimate sign of defensiveness during a pandemic. Right now, you have gold going down in price, generally speaking. You have yields going up in bonds, so their value is going down. And the only thing that went up today are technology shares. And my reason is that's the sign of this switching over, this reversal is taking place, is all of those things would have to be, going in a defensive direction for it to be truly a reversal.
Yeah, David, so let's talk about this rotation. So how do you see this playing out, and how should investors approach managing their holdings? How fast should they sell? Should they wait for a rebound to sell? Should they jump into this before the prices go up on those value plays? And where should they be going to right now?
Great. So first of all, it is impossible to market time. Just like I told my father, you didn't know that Monday was going to be the day that we had the vaccine. You didn't know what the outcome of the election was going to be. Right now is a time to stay fully invested and to move your portfolios. So the first thing you have to do is to have more equity. If your portfolio was 50-50, you have to have more equity now and less debt, because debt right now, with interest rates so low, will actually perform poorly in the economic recovery. So you have to have more equity. Second of all, you want to be in small and medium-sized companies in the United States, for example. You want to be in emerging markets. Southeast Asia is great. You want to be in, as you well know, you want to be in Mexico and Brazil. These are markets that are very depressed relative to their values. And if you go back to 2009 and 2010, they'll do very well. And then specifically within industry groups, there are 2 large groups that people should be investing in. One are airlines, hotels, restaurants, healthcare, and education, all of which were shut down by the virus. Because 6 months from now or 9 months from now, those are going to come back very quickly. Can you imagine if Asian air travel doesn't come back very quickly? Of course it will, once people have the vaccine. And then the second group, and this is less obvious, are the companies that have done better than expected, but whose stock prices are very low. And financials are a great example of that. Mm. Take a look at bank stock prices. They're much, they're very depressed, but in part that's because of low interest rates. When rates start to go up, when the curve starts to go up, and loan demand starts to go up, you'll see a recovery in bank shares because they don't have that many bad loans on their balance sheet relative to what they would have had the governments not intervened. So what I'm telling clients to do is to invest in all of these things. You don't have to pick any one of them. Some emerging markets, some small and medium-sized U.S. stocks, some dividend stocks in Europe, for example. Mm-hmm. Some of these. You know, and if you put them all into your portfolio, and you look back a year from now, you'll do very well.
Yeah. So look out for value, financials, emerging markets, and healthcare. Chatting with David Billin, he's the CIO for Citi Private Bank. Now, David, there's this temptation for investors to look for things that are cheap right now, and there's this danger or risk that these might be value traps. Companies that won't bounce back. Which are the companies to avoid? Where do you reduce exposure right now?
Yeah, so I think you're exactly right. What's interesting about the pandemic and the response is that technology, right, has clearly been the saver, right? It's made everybody safer, it's saved lives, and it's actually allowed us to live our lives, right? But there are many companies, right, that aren't technologically savvy or that have a lot of debt on their balance sheets. Or are not competitive anymore. So, for example, if you're competing against an e-retailer, right, you have to be very, very certain that when the economy reopens, people are going to still want to come to that store. So the stores that are distinctive, the restaurants that are distinctive, all of the things that are very high quality with good balance sheets, you can be confident in. But there's a lot of companies, to your point, that are going to be impacted for a long time by technology or by substitution because we've all been locked up for so long. And that's how I'm, thinking about each individual company. You can't speak to any one company right on a call like this. You have to go one by one. But what we're looking for is companies that have not adapted technologically or by fashion being fashion forward or how they deliver goods and services. All of those that are backward and having been through the pandemic will be really hurt. And you're exactly right. Those could be bad value traps.
Yeah. And David, just to wrap things up, off the back of the elections, actually, initially waiting for a blue wave to happen, so that didn't work out. So looking at the so-called Biden basket of stocks, what's in that basket for you? And do you think markets are underpricing the potential for Joe Biden to push through his policies?
Yes. Well, first of all, let's divide. I'm going to help divide this up. What we've learned in the last, really in 12 years of the presidencies of the United States, is that the presidents have a lot of power. And one of the things that they can do is they can sign, the Pacific Treaty. They could sign the climate accords. There's lots of things that Joe Biden can do without congressional support. He just can do them. And he's going to do those things. And so that's one area. And then the second area is to take a look at what actually is going to happen in the economy as a result of having somebody who's going to regulate things differently. So what does all of this mean for investors? It means that if you want to invest in recyclable or green or ESG shares, things that are going to benefit from, being sensitive to the environment, I think that those things are going to do very well over the course of the next 4 years because we need them, the world needs them, and because we have a government that wants it there. And then the other thing is, let's think about trade, right, and what Biden can do to change the nature of trade. I mean, I think he's going to end up having to have negotiations with China about their relationship. I think in the United States, a lot of those issues are not resolved. But if you're talking about Thailand, you're talking about, Cambodia, Vietnam, many other Southeast Asian markets, Taiwan, Korea, these are all going to be beneficiaries of a Biden administration. And so I think that you have to look at the landscape, not so much as a blue wave or a not blue wave, but what can a president do with or without congressional support? So for me, when I look at global trade, I think it's going to be a huge beneficiary because the friction that was there before when President Trump was in office, those frictions will now go down.
Okay, so Biden bounce for the region to look out for. Registering David Billin, he's the CIO for Citi Private Bank. David, it's been great talking to you, and I hope to have you back on
soon
again.
Before acting on the information on Money FM,
Please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.